Refresh.
Hey, what's up, you guys? It is your boy, the Muffin Man, coming back at you again with another episode of the Refresh Podcast. Happy 2023, my friends. It has been quite some time, but alas, now I am back and the podcast ball will be rolling. Today is a special episode because it is a new year, so this is the first very episode for the brand new year, and as well as for Christmas, I got a brand new mic, so this is the first podcast with the new mic, and I just downloaded some new software to record and edit the episodes on. So honestly, I am just grateful that God has supplied new tools to increase the quality of these episodes. But even though there's a lot of change, the amazing thing is that we serve the God who never changes, and the gospel as well will remain the same. It will because the gospel is constant. So let's jump into our series. But before we do that, let's go ahead and open in prayer. Father, we just thank you so much for this opportunity that you have given us to be together. God, we thank you for your word and the access that we have to it. Father, I pray that you would bless this time. God, I pray that you would speak through me. Lord, help me to speak the words that you have given. Lord, to say things that are true, to say things that are honest, and things that reflect from your word. Lord, I pray that you would just be here and that you would move in a great and mighty way. I pray that you'd open the ears of the listeners that find this episode and open our hearts to receive from you and our minds to retain your word. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So when we first met, when we last met, apparently cannot talk today, right? But we were covering a new series focused on Joseph, from the pit to the palace. And in this series, we will explore four main P's. The first P being the pit. The second is Potiphar. The third is prison. And the fourth is palace. So Joseph is the son of Jacob and Rachel, and he is treated a bit better than his other 11 brothers. And you could very well imagine that this doesn't go well. I mean, there is 12 children total in this family. And in episode 1, we talked about Joseph has a dream, and in his dream, his stock crop stands tall while the others bow to it. And again, in another dream that he has, where the sun and the moon begin to, and 11 stars along with the sun and moon, they begin to bow to him. They bow to Joseph. And whenever he gets these dreams, he is so excited to share these dreams that are stirring in his mind and in his heart. But to those around him, they're less excited to receive the news. We pick up today's episode shortly after this encounter in Genesis 37, 12 through 17. And essentially, Jacob or Israel, they're the same guy, he sends Joseph to find his brothers in the pasture to look after them as they work. He says, "Hey, Joseph, I want you to go and give me a report on how things are going. Go and check up on your brothers, see how hard they're working, as well as go out there and take a measurement of the flock, make sure they're healthy, make sure they're strong and they're good." So Joseph's like, "All right, I got you, Father. I'll go do that for you." He goes and he's wandering in this field looking for his brothers, because this is where they're supposed to be. And a man finds Joseph and he's like, "Can I help you? Like, is there something you're looking for?" And he says, "I'm looking for my brothers. They were shepherding in this area." And the man says, "Oh yeah, that's right. They moved on from this area and they've gone to the next." And here it says that Joseph arrives to Dothan, but his brothers, they're not really thrilled to see him in the distance. And in fact, in verse 19, they say, "Here comes the dreamer." It's like in a mocking way, like, "Oh, here comes the dreamer. Oh, great. There goes our peace and quiet. Is he coming to share another dream while we're bowing to his majesty?" And we see here in verses 20 through 22, it says, "Now then, come and let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits, and we will say, a wild beast has devoured him. Then let us see what will become of his dreams. But Reuben heard this and rescued him out of their hands and said, let us not take his life. Reuben's father said to them, shed no blood. Throw him into this pit that is in the wilderness, but do not lay hands on him, that he might rescue him out of their hands to restore him to his father. So we see here that Joseph's brothers, they couldn't take it anymore. They were tired of the favoritism. They were tired of the special treatments. They were disgusted with the idea of bowing to their brother. I mean, after all, he was one of them. And in that moment, they wanted nothing more than to end it all. They plotted to kill him and threw him into one of the pits. They would throw his remains after they killed him into this pit. Which brings us to the first mention of our destination to the palace, the pit. What is a pit? According to dictionary.com, it's a naturally farmed or excavated hole or cavity in the ground. It can also be covered up or concealed excavation in the ground. It's serving as a trap. Okay. Cool. So generally, we have an idea of what a pit looks like. We see that there are three main types of pit. The first is natural. It's one that was already there. It's one that the earth created. That here's a cavity in the ground. The second is created. Created is one that is dug by hand. It is something that man has created for a purpose, whether that's to bury someone or to fill it with water. And then the third is trap. And trap is also created by man, but it's with the intentions to cover it and pretend like nothing's there so that whenever something would walk over, it would fall in. And this is to trap like animals or, you know, even the trap people. So we see that the foundation of the brothers' plot relied on this pit. We'll just kill him and throw his remains in the pit. That's our plan. That's what we're going to do. Sounds like a great idea. Whether that pit is already there or if we have to dig one ourselves, so be it. But we do see that according to verse 24, that this pit had already existed as there was an absence of water in it. So we can see that this was more of a natural pit. It says that Reuben came to the rescue of his brother Joseph. That it says that Reuben's response to the brothers is that, yeah, I'm angry with Joseph too, guys. I don't like the favoritism either. I wish our father would treat us all with equal love. But, you know, I'm not to the point where I'm wanting to murder my brother Joseph. Reuben had a plan that he was going to come back later and save Joseph. He was going to pull Joseph out. He was going to deliver them to their father to basically save his life. But we'll see later on that we can learn an important lesson from Reuben's mistake. Let's go on and see what happens. So in verses 23 through 29, it says, so it came about when Joseph reached his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the very colored tunic that was on him. And he took him and threw him into the pit. Now the pit was empty without any water in it. Then they sat down to eat a meal, and as they raised their eyes and looked, behold, a caravan of Ishmaelites was coming from Gilead, and with their camels bearing aromatic gum and balm and myrrh on their way to bring them down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, what profit is it for us to kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him, for he is our brother, our own flesh, and his brothers listened to him. Then some Midianite traders passed by, so they pulled him up and lifted Joseph out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. Thus they brought Joseph into Egypt. Now Reuben returned to the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit. So he tore his garments. We see that Joseph reaches his brothers and the attack begins. They removed this multicolored tunic from him that was given to him as a gift from his dad, as we talked about in episode 1. They threw him into the pit and they said, man, that was hard work. Whew. Let's chow down, guys. Let's have a snack to reward ourselves. It says that they sat down to enjoy this meal. When they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites, they decided it'd be better to give Joseph over to a slavery service for Egypt rather than kill him. Then Reuben returns. Do you remember that lesson I talked about earlier that we can learn from Reuben? It's do it now. Don't put it off. Don't procrastinate. Don't say, I'll come back later. I mean, I get he wanted to come back later so that he can deliver him in secret, so he can avoid conflict with the brothers. But if he would have done it in that moment, he could have saved Joseph's life. But if you put it off, you can very well miss the opportunity to do something. So this is how the remainder of the chapter plays out. We see in verse 29 that Reuben's response to Joseph being taken is he rips his garments. Now, I actually did this the other day in a playful way, because oftentimes in the Old Testament, we'll read that whenever somebody is deeply troubled or they're filled with so much grief, it says that they tear their garments. I was imagining this, and I said that to my wife. I like had a hoodie on, and I was like, and I tore my garments. And then I like took it off and like threw it on the ground. I was like, ah, you know, but that's just what I imagine when I read tears their garment. It's like, oh my goodness, like I can't believe this has happened. The brothers deceived Jacob in verses 31 through 33. So essentially they grab the tunic of Joseph, they slaughter a male goat, and they dip the tunic in blood. They bring it to their dad and they say, examine this, we found this, see if it belongs to your son Joseph. And he checks it out and he's like, oh my goodness, it is Joseph. And then he begins to mourn for his son in verses 34 through 35. We see that he gets incredibly sad. Now he still has all of these other sons. You know, he still has, you know, 11 other kids, but Jacob was from his wife Rachel, who he loved more than his wife Leah. And because Jacob was from that place, he was considered like a son from his youth. And so Joseph, he cared a little more about Joseph than the others. It's not the right idea, it's not the right approach, especially as a parent, but that's just what happened. And we see that lastly, in the last part of scripture, verse 36, that Joseph arrives to the next P on his journey to the palace, which is Potiphar. Now, everyone has fallen into a pit of some kind that day. Now, we did say earlier that the types of pits is natural, created, and trapped. See, the brothers fell in a pit that was natural. Emotions are difficult to battle through. It's something that comes naturally to us as people. And in fact, the Bible does indeed tell us that our hearts are deceitfully wicked from birth. So if we were to listen and make every decision based on our emotions, we would be deceived, because emotions, they subject to change. It is dependent on that day and that position and that moment, what's going on, that our emotions begin to change. I cannot be happy all the time. As much as I love being happy, I cannot be happy all the time, because there are things that happen in my life that may make me overwhelmed, that may make me stressed, that may make me come to a place of doubt or shame, whatever the emotion is. I know some of those things I listed, they're not emotions, but some of those things are. but the point is that the only way that we can navigate through our emotions in a successful way is with the help of King Jesus. Our hearts cannot be trusted because they're deceitfully wicked from birth, but King Jesus can be trusted. We have to take our time in processing things. We have to take a step back, and we have to allow the washing of the Word of God to clear our minds, to realign our hearts. We cannot act in the moment of things. We need to take time to weigh what's going on, to weigh and to ask ourselves that if the way we're feeling should be involved in a decision that we're making. We see that the brothers of Joseph, they fell short in this moment. They were overwhelmed. They were consumed by their anger, by their frustration, by feeling overlooked by their dad. And it always felt like Joseph was out to get him. He shared this dream that they were going to bow to him. They weren't fond of that. He had this coat that was a lot nicer than any coats they had. They weren't fond of that. His job was to supervise over them and what they were doing with the flocks. And they didn't like that. They were overwhelmed and consumed by emotions, and they fell into a pit that was natural that day. Reuben fell into a pit that was created. See, Reuben is the firstborn son of Jacob and Leah. He has spent most of the time with his father out of his brothers, and chances are he has watched his brothers grow up. Out of the 11 that conspired against Joseph, Reuben wanted no part in the plan. In fact, he basically negotiated for Joseph's life. He says, please, do not kill the boy. And, you know, in the heat of hatred, he didn't want him to die down. Reuben says to his brothers, you're not going to hurt him. You can throw him in the pit, but don't hurt him. And that's it. See, Reuben planned on the inside that he was going to go back and save him. But his plan was far from complete. Sometimes we find ourselves that we have fallen in a pit that we have created. This comes from making poor decisions, a lack of preparation, giving in to temptation, and neglecting our time with God. And we see that Joseph fell into a pit that was a trap. See, Joseph had no idea what was stirring in the hearts of his brothers. He saw them and he was like, oh, there you guys are. You know, father sent me to create a status report of how everything's going. Are the flocks okay? And then he was overtaken by 10 brothers, not including Reuben. Reuben was not a part of this. He was stripped of his tunic. He was thrown into a pit. See, sometimes we fall into a pit that is a trap. This trap can very well be people who seek to destroy or deceive us. We will face persecution in this life simply for declaring the name of Jesus Christ. We live in a world that lays in wait for the moment we make a mistake or the moment that we say something that is wrong, and in hopes to negate the entirety of our faith in Jesus Christ. My hope comes from the blood-stained cross that paid for my redemption. If I solely relied on hope in myself, I would be hopeless. I'll say that again. My hope comes from the blood-stained cross that paid for my redemption. If I solely relied on hope in myself, I would be hopeless. See, Joseph was probably really confused. I'm sure he thought his brothers were pranking him. He probably yelled or called out to them to get him out, but they didn't. He was lifted out and sold to slavery. I'm sure he was still confused. This isn't part of the dream, God. This wasn't in my dream, God. God, this, what's going on? Like, I don't understand this. But God was with Joseph. And God was and is capable of using the pit moments to help teach us. See, it doesn't matter if the pit was natural, created, or a trap. God can use our time in a pit where we've been yelling to be released or lifted out, where we think that this must be a prank, where it feels like we have been enslaved to our thoughts, our feelings, our false hopes. See, it's in the pit that we have those personal moments of evaluation, that we see everything that we are, everything that we have, everything that we're lacking. And it's a vulnerable place to be, because when you're in the pit, you're feeling defeated. When you're in the pit, you're asking for help. When you're in the pit, you can't climb out. When you're in a pit, you feel like you're stuck because there is simply no way out. It's too deep. You just have to have somebody help you out. You feel like you're alone. You feel like you're forgotten. You feel like you're abandoned. You feel like you're screaming on the top of your lungs. And God doesn't hear you. But the same God that is God in the palace moments is very well the same God of the pit moments. We see that Joseph arrives to the next P along the journey to the palace, which is Potiphar. Now, let me ask you something. Do you feel like the brothers sometimes? Is there a strong hatred burning in your heart towards a relative of yours? You just wish they were gone? Do you need Jesus to help you process the emotions and feelings that are linked to those thoughts. Do you find yourself in the shoes of Reuben? You witness things happening around you and you want to speak up. You have plans to help, but you wait too long to execute them and the situation escalates. Maybe you've been feeling like Joseph lately. You know that God has shown you things that he wants you to do and things that he wants to do in your life, but you're in a pit right now. And it doesn't even seem like God sees you. Maybe you're yelling for him, but no one comes to your rescue. I want you to know something. I want you to know that God is there in the pit with you. The pit isn't forever. The pit moments are defining. And when we allow God to move in those moments through surrender and obedience, he can set us on course to the next moment. The pit moments in our lives are the ones we come to the realization of ourselves and who we are. It's the reevaluation moments that God is there. He is there in the pit. The pit leads to the palace. God isn't finished. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for this word today. God, we thank you that through the life of Joseph, through the life of his brothers, that we can learn, that we can see, God, that in the pit moments of our life, you are there. And God, you can use them for your glory. You can use them to bring us to a place of redemption, to bring us to a place of hope, to bring us to the very place that you have planned and set aside for us. God, when you speak a word, God, when you speak a promise, God, that promise is not void. Those words are not idle. God, those are things that are very well etched. Those things are very well existent. Those things are very well true. And God, you do not go back on those things. God, you are so good to us. God, forgive us. God, forgive us for the things that we do that lead us to the pit. Forgive us for the time that we create our own pits. God, I thank you that you're not finished with us in those pit moments. Lord, help us today that if there's any hatred in our hearts or grudges in our hearts towards those that are related to us and those that we love, then God, I ask that you would help us through that. Father, I ask that you would help us to learn from Reuben's mistake, that if we see something going on around us, help us to speak up, help us to take action, help us to do it in the now and not wait till later. God, I thank you for all that you do. You're so good to us. Father, we give you the highest praise. In Jesus' name, amen. God, I thank you so much for the opportunity to speak to your people today. Guys, thank you so much for joining me for another episode of Refresh Podcasts, where Christ goes before us so we can bring you another refreshing word. I cannot wait to be back with you next time to talk about our next episode of From the Pit to the Palace. I love you guys. You have a good rest of your day.